Hi, I'm Will Stein and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 series Desert Island Discs, whereby in each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book and luxury item they would take with them if they are stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in this podcast. You can find links to the songs either on the Geography and Environment website or on the Geography Island Jams Spotify music account. I hope you enjoy. So welcome to Geography Island Jams. Joining me today, I have MSc Environment and Development, Class of 2020 alumnus, Andrea Perez-Perez. Andrea is due to start her PhD at Sussex University this September. She is focusing on grassroots innovation movements within a degrowth framework in the UK. Her aim is to understand the ways grassroots innovation manifests the degrowth discourse. Before coming to the LSE, Andrea did an undergraduate degree in international relations in Madrid. Despite being based in Spain, Andrea also got a taste of studying in the UK as she spent a year in Brighton as part of the Erasmus exchange. Andrea's love for the environment extends into her eating habits as she has been vegan for almost 4 years and vegetarian 3 years before that. And a final fun fact, Andrea is a classically trained musician. She has played the cello and has studied music professionally from the age of 8 up until the age of 15. So on that note, pardon the pun, welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
So first, I just wanted to say, as I said to you before, that I've been, you know, talking to you about this for 3 months. And I was just wondering whether your song choices changed over that time or whether it's been the same from when you first started thinking about it.
I think they're more or less the same. I might have been listening to some of the songs, but these 10 songs that I chose, that's 8 songs actually, sorry, the 8 songs I chose are the ones that I think represent me the most throughout my life, basically, and since I was a teenager to now, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting how people choose, because some people just choose, like, the best playlist they want on an island, and then other people go through their life in chronological steps, so it's quite funny that some people have sort of come back and said they want to completely change all their songs, you know, after doing the podcast, and obviously that's not possible. But sorry, so I'm rambling on, but I'm really curious to hear more about your PhD. Can you tell me, yeah, if you could just explain what it is you're going to be looking into? But first, what is meant by degrowth? That was the one thing that sort of confused me.
So usually economists nowadays, they do focus a lot on growth, like GDP, for example, and there is this part of the academic world that is focusing on another alternative economic system that could help us not get such a severe climate change, and also to be more sustainable and don't pollute as much. There is this idea that, for example, green growth, that is something that has been pushed a lot in the media, still wouldn't solve the problems that we have right now, and it wouldn't delay climate change, and it's still like, so like degrowth basically is an alternative to this actual economic system that focuses on slowing down the economy and also not focusing on GDP, but polluting less, recycling more. And yeah, it's a really interesting area of research that has been developing for the last, I would say, 40, 50 years. And this is more focused on the Western world. There's still other variants of the degrowth movement that is called post-growth and post-development that is more focused on developing countries. But degrowth is more developed countries type of model.
Yeah, I found it so interesting because you're looking into innovation, and usually innovation is all about growth and expanding the GDP as much as possible. So it's really interesting to think of innovation as a way of slowing down the economy. Like, it seems like they contradict.
Yeah, because basically the innovation has focused on more conventional frameworks, and there is still some grassroots innovation movement that have been manifesting more the degrowth discourse. And I have decided that, because no one really has combine like innovation and degrowth. And as well, like researching innovation from a degrowth perspective, I thought it was really interesting to see how these movements have been pushing the boundaries and how they could help us develop, for example, better policies and better theory as well. And yeah, because I do believe that they are raising really important questions that are not really being looked at, because it's been looked at from a green growth perspective.
So I want to ask you more about this, but I thought maybe we'll hear your first song first. So yeah, can you tell me about the first song that you've chosen?
Yeah. So the first song that I chose was Lane Boy by 21 Pilots. I do remember it was one of the first songs I listened from them. And it's about how society tells you to just basically stay on the same lane. Like you have your future kind of already being written down for you. And I don't know, it was one of the first songs that really spoke to me from this group. And I remember when I went to Brighton, actually, when I was studying in Sussex during my undergrad, I went to a concert in London for a concert of 21 Pilots. And I remember when I listened to this song, it just, don't know, it was between the melody, the lyrics, and it's not the only song that I love from them, but I think it was definitely my favorite at that time of my life. And I think that was like a really significant time of my life. Like it completely changed what I wanted to do in my life. I was going towards more international relations direction in my life, and then I went to Sussex and I discovered international development and all the things, and I started being really, really interested on studying environment. And I think that song really represents who I was in that moment. So that's why I chose it. It's not only the lyrics, I don't think that's as important, because it's not really that significant. Like it's not really the best song ever, but it really touches something in me. So that's why I chose it as the first song. So it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say are the biggest barriers the degrowth movement faces?
Well, my second.
And that's a hard one.
Yeah. basically, even the way we think about things in society are coming from capitalist way of thinking, our ways of consumption and relations to each other. And I do think as well that degrowth, even though there are models that explain how it can actually work, it is really hard from a personal perspective to even try to comprehend how that would actually work. And I think that is one of the main problems that degrowth has, but also that it's been said that it's kind of like a utopian way of thinking about the future, which, yeah, it might be, but it's also good to look at other alternative economic systems that could push the boundaries of what we have right now, what could push the paradigms that we have at the moment. I am aware that we might not really change things, but I'm also aware that the way that we are behaving in society and where economies work right now, it's not really working, and I don't think it will really work. We see how the models show in the future if we keep behaving the way we do, and we are already way above the line that we should be. And and it's clear that green growth is not really the answer to things. So I think it's a really hard question as well. And I also I'm not an expert on it. I hope I will be.
Yeah, not yet.
I think that's one of the limitations that it has, definitely. Hopefully I will find more.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do a catch up after the 3 years and see.
Yeah.
Ask the same questions. But we're now moving on to your second song. Can you tell me what it is and for any reasons why you're taking it with you?
Yeah. This is Undercover Martin by Tudor Cinema Club. I don't know, I just really love this song. It's a really like cheerful, happy song. And I love Tudor Cinema Club. I've seen them live and they just gave good vibes with every song they release. And it was really hard. I wanted to choose a song from them. I knew for sure because this is one of my favorite groups ever. And yeah, and I chose this one because it's just a really happy song. It just puts me in a good mood. I think it's my, every time that I don't know, if I will go on a walk and I don't really know what to listen to, I will just be to the cinema club. And when this song pops up, I don't know, I'm just happy. It's one of my happy go-to songs, basically.
So yes, now Brighton. So as I said, London wasn't the first place you studied in the UK. You spent your year doing your Erasmus in Brighton. Do you think studying in Brighton in a green, environmentally friendly place shaped, you know, or affected your view and your environmental passion?
Yeah, no, it did, definitely. I was already vegetarian, so I already had some sort of conscience on the environment. That was one of the main reasons I had gone vegetarian before moving to Brighton. But I've never experienced something like that city before, the atmosphere on how people would get together, and as well university level, it was amazing. It was completely different to anything I've experienced before. It was really different from my university in Madrid, and it really did influence me. I had the opportunity for the first time to study a module in environment, and I took a module on environment and development. And I remember my seminar teacher, and I was completely blown away by how passionate she was about things. Also, it was the first time I experienced seminars. We don't really have seminars in Spain. It's just basically lectures. And yeah, and so it was completely different, like, to discuss topics and go on debates. And I saw how passionate everyone was about this topic, at least in my seminar, my lectures. And I knew already that I was really interested in environment, but I didn't know it was really a possibility in my field. I did struggle a little bit when I chose my degree, and I thought I wanted to be a diplomat, and then I realized I didn't really want to be a diplomat. And so studying at SASE really helped me study the things that I actually wanted to study in Spain. The first 3 years is 4 years studying. So the first 3 years are kind of like fixed modules. So you cannot really choose anything that you want. It's just set. And it's your fourth year where you have the opportunity to choose different things, at least depending on your interests. But choosing to study the environment, and also another modules that I chose, like gender, international political economy and trade, that completely shaped the way that I looked at society and what I wanted to do with my life. It gave me like a reason, basically.
And then quickly, before we move on to the next song, do you have a favorite restaurant in Brighton and a favorite go-to food in that restaurant? A lot of choice.
Yeah, I love food. I remember we used to spend a lot of time in this place. It's called Sushi Mania. It's a sushi place, and they had this half-priced deal around lunchtime during the week. And it's near the seaside. And I don't know if quality-wise it's that great. I think it was the first time I ventured into sushi in my life. But we loved it and was obsessed. You could eat as much as you want, basically, because it was half price. So you would pay £1 for 8 smacky sushi rolls, basically. And I loved it. But I think right now there is this, it's breads as well, but it's in London too. There's a lot of restaurants I love in Brighton and that are also in London, but breads is a vegan pizza shop, and they have won the best pizza in the UK in 2018, competing against non-vegan pizzas.
Wow, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I love that place. It's also in Camden. Purezza. It's Purezza, and it's Italian. And you can tell that it's a properly, it's probably well done pizza. And they also have some pasta dishes and lasagna, but it's mainly pizza. Mm. But I love it. I love it. It's really good. Really recommend it.
You have to do a disclaimer saying they've not paid you to, you know.
Yeah, no, they don't pay me. I wish.
So, your next song, can you now tell me about the third song you were taking with you?
1 second, sorry. Oh, yeah. So this is a song by Nati Peluso. I pronounce it Bzzup Music Sessions. It's basically Nati Peluso is Latin American artist that is currently in Barcelona, I think, living. And I find her amazing. She's really, really good. I mean, she does kind of rap, but also singing. It's kind of trap, basically. This session that she's done with Bzzup, never know how to pronounce this guy, he's a producer. They did this song, and it just gives me, I don't think I can say that, but you know, like kind of like bad vibes, and like feel like a bad woman. And it's a really, really fun party song that I've been obsessed for the last few months. And I don't know, like this New Year's, we had to celebrate at home, and it was just the three of us, so it was not that great, but we played this song and we were just dancing, and it was, I don't know, it's such a powerful woman as well. She's a really feminist, strong woman, and really good character. And I love her voice and the way she sings. Even I feel like for non-Spanish speakers, you can feel her energy just through the way that she talks. And yeah, really, that's why I had to choose this song. I had to put something from her, because she's one of the best artists that we have right now in Spain, I believe.
Now, I'm excited to listen to them all afterwards. so now moving on to LSE. So you did your part-time master's, so you did it across the 2 years.
Yes.
So you did get to experience a good chunk outside of COVID, luckily.
Yeah, thank God.
Was LSE what you expected it to be?
Well, yes and no. I think it was definitely harder than I thought. It was hard studying at LSE. I feel it's a really, really competitive university, and I knew it was, but I never really realized how much it was, and also how much I will struggle with certain modules. And not so much with others, but there were a few writing essays, never been, especially writing essays in English, I have struggled. I don't know if I'm, let me rephrase it. I have always struggle writing essays in the UK. I think the way that people write essays here compared to Spain is completely different.
Oh, wow.
And so it's always hard. It was hard for me in Sussex, and I got used to it. But then the level of LSE is, well, of course, it's a master's, so they expect way more. And it was a bit hard point, and especially for example the exams that we had after my first year at LSE. I was quite sick before, and it was a really hard time studying while being sick and then having to take the exams. I didn't want to defer, so I took them, and I did struggle, but at the same time I learned so much, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And yeah, it was what I expected. I did expect some difficulties, but I also, I don't know, I didn't know how much I would get into this area of studying, and yeah.
So I've got some more LSE London questions, but first, can you tell me about your fourth song?
Yeah, so Exile by Taylor Swift and Bon Iver. I'm obsessed with this album. It's folklore and it's Taylor Swift, and I had to choose something from her. She's released two albums this last year and they are both amazing, but this song is just, I don't know, it's a bit of a sad song, and I felt like I had to include something a bit sad because it does represent me. We all get sad sometimes and it's been a tough year, but this song is just plain beautiful. Bon Iver is an amazing singer as well, and I don't know, it just gives me
give you the feels.
Yeah, it gives me the feels, exactly. That's it's such an amazing song. I honestly recommend it for everyone. If you're not a Taylor Swift fan, I do believe that these last two albums, give it a try, because there's something else. It's the songwriting, the lyrics are amazing. They tell so many stories, and it's not something that she's ever done before. She's always been a really good songwriter and she's tell amazing stories, but I feel like she's just got amazing with these last two albums, and Exile really represents that. So I really had to put this song in my list.
So going back to LSE, when you were doing your masters, you took up Mai Tai.
Yeah.
What made you want to take it up?
Well, I have done Krav Maga before, and I did it in Madrid for over 2 years, and I loved it. I don't know, I feel like I had to learn some sort of self-defense in my life, so I know how to, at least a minimum of how to defend myself if anything happens, and it's just more a security feeling that I know how to, in case I ever, any situation arises, I know how to defend myself. But it's also a really fun thing to do, like get your girl stronger and also quicker, and it's kind of like in the movies. And I don't know, when I was in Brighton, I took kickboxing because that's what they offered, and I loved it too, but not as much. And when I had the opportunity of taking Muay Thai LSE, because I saw it on the society and sports, I was definitely gonna take this. And it was really fun experience. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I was really sad when I had to stop going. I had some problems with my wrist, and I had to stop, but I love it. It's more fun than you would think. It feels like a bit brutal, but you can take it at your own path, like recent path. Like you don't really have to, you can really start in the basics. You don't really have to know anything about self-defense or and I really recommend it for everyone. At least just take a few classes and see how it works, because it's great.
And then also, as well as doing all the self-defense, you also were a part-time waitress at Leon alongside.
Yeah.
How was that? How was it hard balancing your studies with waitressing?
Sometimes it was, because I could choose more or less my schedule at work, and I could say what days I couldn't work because of uni. But obviously I had to be really aware, for example, of doing all the readings a couple of days before, and I couldn't leave things to the last minute, because some nights I would work until 11 or midnight. So I would get home at around 1 a.m. And like, I remember I worked on Mondays always, and I had a lecture on Tuesday at 9 a.m. And I always did closings, because obviously you have uni in the morning, and I would end up at 11. So I get home around midnight. And so I couldn't leave. I had to do all my readings at least by the weekend. I couldn't leave it for Monday. And then waking up and you're tired, and then that day you have to go to work again. And sometimes it was really tough, because also standing up for, it's not about working, it's about standing up for example, 8-9 hours, sometimes 10 hours. It's so, so tiring. But also it gave me a really good it gave me really good organization skills. I've been able to organize myself well more, and I realized how to organize my time in general way better than if I hadn't done it.
Now, your fifth song, can you tell me what it is and any reasons why?
Yeah, so Catfish and the Bottlemen, 7 from Catfish and the Bottlemen. I love this song. I generally love this song. It's one of my favorite songs ever. I don't really listen to this group as much. I think this is one of their most famous songs they have, but it's just as well. It's such a nice, chill song that I love to listen when I'm cooking, for example. It's obviously my when I have my cooking playlist, and this is one of the songs that has to go in there. So it's a really nice, chill song, and it's indie, and I love indie songs.
So I think I might have mentioned before, but you spent your life growing up in Madrid. Do you have any favorite memories or most mischievous stories from your childhood?
Well, yeah. That's a hard question. I have some, obviously, memories with my family and my parents. I'm an only child, so I've spent a lot of time, obviously, on my own. But I'm really close with all my family. And for example, one of my mischievous stories is I used to hide my aunt's cigarettes around the house. I will take her package of cigarettes and just hide it in places. And I remember once I threw it in the toilet, and she obviously would get really mad at me. And I would just be like, "No, but I'm worried about your health. I don't want you to smoke." And you will see all these ads on TV with like, "Oh, smoking is really bad. Smoking kills you." And then I would see my aunt just smoking. And now I realize how much money I probably like threw away, and how I understand how she hated and how angry she would get. But yeah, I remember as well one of the other stories. I have a terrace in Madrid in my house. I live in an apartment building, and we live in the top floor, so at least we have a nice view. And the summers get really, really hot. We used to have this hose in my terrace that like to water the plants, but sometimes I will invite my friends home and like, "Oh yeah, it's hot," and you will just put on your bikinis and like just spray like basically each other with the hose. And sometimes what we will do is spray people in the street, because we were a really tall building. So people wouldn't really know where it was coming from, and they couldn't really call anyone. And if we saw someone, it would be like a little bit, you know. And it was really bad, but we did it a few times. It was obviously we thought, no, it's hot. It's hot. They're probably really hot. It's like 40 degrees now, but they probably hated us. Yeah, this is one of the memories I can have of me behaving really, really badly.
So if anyone who experienced rain, you know, 40 degree heat in Madrid, it wasn't rain, it was you spraying them from your...
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Wow. Be really bad for them, but well.
And so now we're going to move on to your sixth song. Can you let me know what it is and any reasons why?
Yeah, okay. This is Yo Perreo Sola by Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is... Puerto Rican, yeah, he's from Puerto Rico, artist, and he is just amazing. He's changed reggaeton and trap. I guess some songs are not really reggaeton anymore, but he's changed what reggaeton is so much, and this song is an example of that. It's a really fun song as well. It's about dancing on your own, basically, and it's against sexual harassment, for example, in clubs, and like just leave girls alone, leave them dance freely. And yeah, and Bad Bunny, he just, I don't know, it's really weird, different to see someone that is in that industry who is so openly calling out sexist behaviors, and he's even appeared on TV talking about trans issues, and he always wears skirts and paints his nails whenever he wants to, and he's a straight man, so it's also really significant in the culture in his country and South America, and also in Spain, like to see someone so openly pushing the boundaries of what is male and what is female, and I really like that for this, I really like him for that. And this song, it's this really funny song. He's dressed as a woman, and also he's dressed as himself, and he's basically dancing with himself in the video and representing like that, leave girls alone, leave them dance freely. And he has a sign at the end of the song about like ni una más, which is something that is always been said in demonstrations against gender violence, which means no more murders, basically no more killing women. And I love this song. It's also a really happy song. It came out right before lockdown last year. And it's been really sad because I haven't been able to dance in a club, and I'm really, really sad for that. But it's also really, it has a message, and I like that. I love reggaeton, but even this, like when it has a message as powerful as this, it's just amazing.
So now I wanted to ask, when we were speaking before, you said one of your most precious memories was getting matching tattoos with your grandma. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, my grandma, she, one of her first tattoos, it was a butterfly in her shoulder. And she got that years ago when I wasn't even born. And I was obsessed with that tattoo since I was a child. I would get, like, you know, the fake tattoos of butterflies from the shop, yeah. And I would put them all over me. And I knew that I always wanted to get that tattoo, because that butterfly in my mind just represented my grandma, and I love her. She's a really strong, independent woman, and I really admire her, and she's amazing, and I love her, and I really wanted that tattooed on me. And 2 years ago, I think it was, yeah, 2 years ago, I finally asked her, like, oh, would you mind if I get the same butterfly that you have tattooed on me? And she was completely thrilled about it, and she even paid for the tattoo. In like 3 days after I asked her, we went to her tattoo artist in Madrid, because she has a favorite tattoo artist, of course. and I got it done, and she has it in color, I have it in black and white, because I'm not that cool yet. Maybe at some point I will put some color in, but it makes me feel closer to her. I don't see her so often anymore, because I obviously live in the UK, I've been living here for almost 4 years now. And it was a way of having her with me at all times. And yeah, and really, I think it's my favorite tattoo for sure.
So now, can you tell me about your next song?
My next song is, yeah, so this is The Bitterest Love. It's by Delphine Vega. She's one of my best friends. She actually lives in Brighton. She's an amazing, amazing singer and songwriter. I met her actually through Leon. We were working together. She's just super talented, and I genuinely love this song. She has this Lana Del Rey vibes when she sings, and she's such a cool person. I don't know if since the moment I heard this song, I was completely blown away that I knew actually the person that had written the song, because it sounds so professional. And I don't know, I just can't wait for the moment that she's famous and people see how talented she was. And it's become one of my favorite songs as well, because she even made up the word bitterest. It's not really the correct way of saying the most bitter. It doesn't make any sense, but it's just amazing. And yeah, she's, yeah. I love this song. It's, yeah.
I look forward to it. I've got a few new a few new additions to my music library for sure. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
last question now. A bit cheesy, but do you know where you'd want to be in 5 years' time?
yeah, that is hard. I don't know. Ideally, I would be working in a university at that time. I would have already finished my PhD. I would love to be a lecturer. I would love to teach people and have undergrads with me. And I would love to be a lecturer. I would love to give seminars, and ideally I will see myself in a university. I don't know where. I've been thinking about that. I don't know if I will see myself in Brighton permanently. I don't know if I would like to move back to London. I don't know if I will move somewhere else. I'm a bit open with that aspect. I wouldn't mind. As long as I can live in Brighton for a few years and experience that again, I would be happy with moving somewhere else. But I would definitely see myself in the UK. That's for sure. At least in 5 years' time. And yeah, hopefully with a stable job as well. And teaching and also being able to do my own research. And yeah, that is how I see myself, hopefully. Things work out.
Well, I'm already very jealous of your few years in Brighton. That's going to be amazing, especially when, you know, hopefully one day when the restrictions lift and, you know, life can somewhat return to as it was and so on.
Yeah, no, you can always come to visit.
Yeah, no,
you're going to have somewhere to crash if you need it.
Yes, and... we're waiting for you to make that offer for the past, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Glad we got there in the end.
We're moving on to the eighth and final song. Can you let me know what it is and for any reasons why you're taking it with you?
The eighth and last song that I've chosen is What's Up by Fortnum Blondes. I've chosen this song because it really represents a universal feeling of being fed up and tired of what's going on in the world. And I did listen to this song a lot, especially during my master's at LSE, because sometimes I would get really tired and frustrated when studying different policies and climate change or biodiversity and conservation, and this helps to get all the anger and frustration out of you. And I don't know, I love it. It's gonna be one of my all-time favorite songs, I think, forever.
Last section now. As I told you before, you're allowed to take with you a book, a luxury item, and as of this series now, a favorite meal, or what's your favorite meal to cook, and a quote. So yeah, if you want to start with what is the book that you would take with you.
So I think the book that I will take with me would be The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know if I've heard of this book.
Go on. It definitely rings a bell.
Yeah, so it's by Douglas Adams, and it's actually a trilogy. I mean, it's actually five books, but it's called the Trilogy of Five, and they've done a movie about this book that is also hilarious. And I feel like this book has everything. And if I have to take this to an island, it will it's a really, at least the compilation of the whole books, it's a really big book that will at least keep me entertained for some time. It's a really fun and also nerdy book, I will say. And it has that stupid type of humor, and by also mixing it with science and it's just really, I love this book. I've been obsessed with the movie since I was a child. It's one of my dad's and I's favorite movie. And obviously, as a child, I wouldn't even consider reading this book. It was too complicated for me. But when I was a teenager and I had the opportunity of reading it, I absolutely loved it. And it's just, I don't know, it's sci-fi, and I'm not, I like sci-fi, but it's not my favorite genre. But this book is something else. And yeah, I will take this with me for sure. And then do I have to say what luxury item I will take with me?
Or... Yes, I was going to come on to that. So now can you tell me your luxury?
Yeah, so, well, not really sure if that will work in an island, but I do love some good fancy candles. I'm obsessed with candles. That has grown on me since the last year. And I don't know, I kind of stopped myself from buying, even though if I can have the one thing that I don't really need, that is, I guess, the definition of luxury is just candles. I actually have like 5 candles with like in my room right now. I've even bought like sand candles, which are made of sand that melts, and I don't mind spending money in like different like ginger and spices, and like having Christmassy candles and then summery candles is that's my favorite thing.
So I need any advice on candles. I know I'm gonna be going.
Well, yeah, I think my favorite shop, at least, I love Muji candles. I think the quality is really good, but obviously they're closed, so I haven't been able to buy Muji candles in some time. So I've been buying from this brand that is called the Jane's Shop, and they're like, I think they're based in London, or they're based in the UK. They're really like soy scented candles, and they have they're really weird, because the names of the candles are like in the library or under the mistletoe, for example, for Christmas candles. But they are so good. They're a bit pricey, but they're amazing. I really, really, really recommend.
No, yeah. I'll have to have a look. It's funny how many ads you've put into this, you know.
Yeah, this feels like I've been sponsored. I wish.
Imagine after this, you just get all your commissions.
Oh, please. Oh, James, sponsor me.
You could be their ambassador. And then, yeah, 2 left. So we've got, what is your favorite meal to cook?
My favorite meal is almond ricotta roll-ups. This is a recipe I learned from one of my favorite YouTubers. She's Canadian and it's Hot for Food. And these are basically, obviously, vegan. It's kind of like they make a ricotta out of almonds and they mix it with nutritional yeast and other spices, and you leave it kind of marinating for 24 hours. So it's a long process for like to have this, but it's so worth it. Then it's just filling with spinach and courgettes and with the ricotta and like with a tomato sauce on top. This is like the meal that I always make for Christmas at my house in Spain. I don't know why it's become a standard meal. We are not even Italian. We're all Spanish and everyone loves it. And I found that this recipe is great for like non-vegans as well, because it does taste a lot like cheese, but it's also healthy, and it's not, I feel like a lot of the vegan recipes that I love as well are being based on replicating things that are not vegan, so fake meats and like fake chicken, which I love, but this is just it's not simple, but it's something that we're all used to. It's pasta and it's tomato sauce and some good vegetables, and I love it. It takes me ages. When Christmas, I have to wake up at 7 a.m. to start cooking it, because I make the tomato sauce from scratch, and I like to have it done for like 3 hours or 4, because that's why all the Italian grandmothers say, as much as you leave it the sauce cooking for the longer the better, basically. So yeah, but I love it. And I think it's my favorite thing to feed other people, because I love when people try and it's like, oh, I love it. And it's like, oh, thank you.
I was going to say, when I visit you in Brighton, you have to make it, but I feel bad.
Yeah.
I wake up at 7 a.m.
But I would probably make it a day before, like at least. It's more the Christmas, so it's already freshly done. But
Of course, you want it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, I hopefully when things go back to normal, and I would love to throw a dinner and just cook. I love cooking, and making this for people is one of my favorite things as well.
Well, if so I get an invite, I will be there for sure.
Yes, yes, you will.
And then finally, but by no means least, can I have your quote of choice?
So yeah, this is what is essential is invisible to the eye is from The Little Prince, the book. And I also have it tattooed, but I have it tattooed in French, and I'm not gonna attempt to say it in French because I'm not my French pronunciation is not that great.
How comes in French?
Because the original the language I was written is the Petit Prince, and so I felt like, why would I have it tattooed in English or in Spanish when I would like to have the original quote. I have studied French. I studied French for 6 years, but I haven't spoken French in a long time, especially since I moved to the UK. So it's a bit not great, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I love that book. I do believe that this message of the things that are important to us are not things that we see. Is, for example, it's become really clear, I think, with the pandemic. I think that not being able to see your friends or hug people and the things that are not really material are the things that give meaning to us. And I think that remembering this, having this in mind when we get a bit focused on material things or our career is really important. And that's why I think this is my favorite quote ever. It's also a really cheesy quote, I am aware. But yeah, we love a bit of cheesiness, yeah.
We do. And yeah, what a great way to finish. Well, thank you very much, Andrea, for telling me about your Geography Island Jams. And yeah, it's been my pleasure.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great. Loved it.